the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site covering the Arizona Cardinals. With me is co-host Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, and this is episode 534, although it is the second try at episode 534, as we had some technical difficulties, and you would have only heard Seth. Nothing of my comments or questions or anything like that. So we are trying this again. That's why the show is out of order. We'll just pretend like it went that way. We're talking, this is the third of four NFL draft previews for the Cardinals as we talk about three big defensive needs, the interior defensive line, the edge, the outside linebacker spot, and for cornerback, Seth. I mean, we already did this once, so I guess we can kind of roll back in. We're going to talk kind of each position group, if there's anyone worth round one, go to day two, and then day three, guys that fit for the Cardinals. In round one, there are basically two defensive linemen that kind of get the attention, and that is Johnny Newton and Byron Murphy. And it's kind of interesting because while some people believe that Newton is the better prospect, it's not quite consensus, but most feel that Byron Murphy the second's gonna end up being the first one drafted, don't you think?
Yeah, and I'll ask the same question just so people can understand, because I didn't know either. How do you decide if you're the second or junior? And just answered it for me last time.
I think you just pick it. You decide whether you're a junior or a second.
So I think from your point, Jess, that Murphy is kind of the consensus big draft. Number one interior defensive lineman. When you go to the, you know, the consensus big board on NFL mockdraftdatabase.com, which, you know, we always recommend you guys take a look at that. Murph is 17, Newton is 25. So again, consensus in the sense of, like, you know, most of the boards prefer Murphy over Newton. I don't think you can go wrong either way. I do have my own bias. I prefer Johnny Newton. This is something that I wrote about the other day. Johnny Newton played with one other guy that's going to get drafted. His name's Keith Randolph Jr. He's actually another interior defensive line prospect. He's looked at going around the sixth, seventh round in that 200 plus range. Outside of that, there was not another draftable player on that defense.
And he, as the kids like to say, ate.
Yeah,
Newton
ate. Yeah, so last year with Devon Witherspoon on the roster in 2022, second-team All-American, first-team All-Big Ten, 5.5 sacks, 14 tackles for loss, 62 tackles. Like, this guy put together a ferocious season. Then this year, he just stepped it up. And again, without without much help. First-team All-American, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. We're talking about the conference with Michigan and Ohio State in it, and this was the best defensive player. That says something. I mean, he's put together a three-year run where he has just been better and better every season, and that's what makes him intriguing to me. There are obviously questions. From a size aspect, he's a good size, but he's 6'1.5", 304 pounds. So he's probably maxed out in his frame from an athletic standpoint. He's not going to get much bigger. If anything, he might slim down a touch when he gets to the NFL. Arm length isn't ideal. It's not a deal breaker. 32 3/8 inch, 76 inch wingspan, 75 7/8. I mean, 76, we're fine. And he didn't test because he was coming off a Jones fracture in his right foot. But this is the thing with Newton. He is undersized and in the sense of height. 304 obviously is not undersized by any means, but he is a guy that has put together a list of accomplishments that's really hard to overlook, especially playing in the Big Ten for a, you know, a team that was trying to rebuild, that was trying to get back to being a good team again. The testing or lack of testing is obviously going to be something that's consuming, but this guy is an interior force. He can play as a one gap. He understands how to disengage and find the football. And he did some two gapping stuff. That's the nice thing. So, you know, we've talked about this. I think he's an ideal fit in what Jonathan Gannon and Nick Rallis want to do on their defense. And he would be a fantastic pick at 27. He would be a godsend at 35 if they were able to get him there. So, you know, that's how I look at Newton. With Murphy, it's an interesting thing. You have to overlook the lack of production on a star-studded defense that where he got to play next to Tavondre Sweat, who Tavondre Sweat, you know, we'll talk about him shortly, but he isn't a, you know, out-and-out game changer on the defensive side of the ball in the NFL. But we have seen that these mountain of men like Sweat is are a lot for interior offensive linemen in college, especially guys that aren't going to be playing in the NFL. And so, you know, you look at what Murphy did. He is a super athlete. I mean, he came in at 6'2", 297. Arms are the same length, has a little bit longer wingspan, so again, broader shoulders. Ran a 4.87 at 300 pounds. I mean, that's incredible. He is great get off, great burst. And he's strong as a bull, 28 reps on the bench. He looks like a guy that can play the one or the three tech, similar to Newton. And so it's really just about, you know, if you think that he will improve on his production. That's the thing with first round defensive linemen, and something that you and I have talked about ad nauseum for a while. I think, and especially Justin and I on our show, we talk a lot about the fact that people don't understand that interior defensive line is a really tough position to come into and make an impact early. You know, we've talked about in, I think it was 2019, Quinnen Williams, you know, comes out and quite frankly looks like a guy that was overdrafted in year one. 2.5 sacks. He only had 4 tackles for loss, like didn't make a huge impact. And then he had a nice jump in year 2, 7 sacks, maintained that in year 3, 6 sacks. And then he took that huge leap in Robert Salas' defense in year 4, 12 sacks, 12 tackles for loss, 28 quarterback hits, was an all-pro for the first time in his career. That's kind of the trajectory with interior defensive linemen. And
well,
what...
it's a trajectory for guys who were part-time players, because like you could look at some of the great ones, like you take Ndamukong Suh, you take Aaron Donald, they came in and dominated right away, but they were also dominant, yeah, productively. They were playing, and I get to the point that you always talk about is the number of snaps they play. If they're a rotational player in college, it's going to take them a while to get used to that in the pros. And
yeah,
and those great defensive linemen are the ones playing 75% plus of
right,
the snaps.
And you saw it, you know, the next year, Derek Brown, you know, finally broke out in year 3, had a great year this year in year 4, 103 tackles, which is an absurd number, right, for a defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Christian Wilkins, like, right. And so that's the thing is like, and even like Jalen Carter last year, you know, people were talking about him as the consensus best player in the draft, and he came out and he just clearly wasn't. And that's not a shot at him. That's not anything negative. He just clearly wasn't the best player in the draft, like everybody kind of promised he would be. And so if you're getting a guy on, you know, in the first round, the expectation is that they're going to come in and be a threat immediately, especially on the interior to rush the passer. The reality is, as Jess just so eloquently stated, that doesn't happen. What ends up happening is that these guys go from being 50 to 55% snap players in college and beating up on guys that, like I always joke about, are selling car insurance or, you know, coaching. And then they get up against NFL players and they get 50 to 55% of snaps and they get winded and they can't, and, you know, they hit that rookie wall. We talked about, like, you know, Carter's production, right? And his production was so heavily in the first part of the season. He had 1.5 sacks from week 7 on. He had 6 sacks on the season. He had 1.5 from week 7 on. Like, that's not good. And so that's the thing, you know, with Newton and Byron Murphy is, like, Newton's played more snaps. He's going to potentially have the greater impact immediately. But on the flip side, you know, if you have the ability, like the Cardinals have done, where they don't necessarily need a 70% snap player and they just need a 40, 50% snap player, then that's what Byron Murphy can offer with that same upside. So I don't think you can go wrong with either. I've always just said I prefer Newton just because of the insane production from his career. You know, and then we go into round two, right? And
well,
this
here's
is where,
a question, though. Do you think Braden Fisk, with the production that he had, could sneak into round one right at the end?
Those things can always happen. I mean, you look at Fisk, and the thing with Fisk that is really interesting is that he's old. He's going to be 20. He's going to play this entire season at 24. His last three seasons, two at Western Michigan and then one at Florida State, were virtually identical, which is a great thing. I don't, you know, we talk about this all the time. If you move up in competition, so if you go from a group of five school to a power five school, you want to see at least the same level of production. That's what Braden Fisk did.
And then he killed the combine, and then he killed the Senior Bowl, then he killed the combine, and you're like, dude. And there are definitely physical limitations. He's got the short arms. He's not going to be great against the run, unless, like, bigger offensive line are going to get him. But he's so athletic, it's hard to ignore.
He is insanely athletic. Like you said, he came in at 290, 6'3 and a half, 290, but he does have very short arms, 31-inch arms, 4.78, but, you know, great vertical, great broad jump, really good short shuttle time. And he just looks like the type of guy that can make an impact immediately. The question you have with him, and you know, that's a great question about philosophy, right? This is a guy that's going to be 24 his entire first season. He is going to, when he gets his second contract in year four, whether he's a first rounder or a second rounder, right? Or you're making that decision if you're going to pick him up, he's going to be going into his age 29 season in the NFL. That's a huge deal because, you know, one of the things that you look at in this draft is you have a guy, you know, in Mike Hall from Ohio State, who had just the same insane testing numbers. Right now, again, we tend to take pro day numbers with a slight grain of salt, right? But came in at 6'2 and a half, 290, and he ran a 4.75 with a 9.3 broad and a 33-inch vertical. So, you know, same type of thing. He's going to be 21 this whole year. Like, he will not turn 21 until June. So after he gets drafted, he can't even legally drink yet.
Which means, so do you think that a guy like Hall will end up sneaking into round two or even get selected higher than anyone thinks? Because pretty much he's an early third is kind of where all the mocks put him.
Yeah. He's been looked at in that 60, which, you know, end of second, 60 to 70 range. And I think he's going to go in that 50 range probably, because he is a guy that has insane upside. He is a specimen of a human being. Long arms, huge wingspan, super athletic get off, and he's just played in a defense that hasn't asked him to do much. And that's the difference, you know. So when you talk about Murphy versus Hall, you know, to go back to that, and people might say, well, why are you not docking Hall for not being productive? Well, I am. That's why I'm talking about him in on day two and not as a top 20 pick in the NFL draft. Like, that's in my opinion, where you take those guys that have that insane athleticism, insane upside, that have shown really, really good things, but they haven't been productive enough to justify a pick that early. So that's, you know, that's where Hall is. Fisk fits in that same region to me. I wouldn't be shocked if he went earlier, but I really do think the age thing is going to knock him out of the first round, because yeah. I just don't think teams want a 25-year-old rookie. And it's not that that's a bad thing, but you have to remember, you're now looking at what's your second investment of him, and that is a big deal to teams, right? We want to be able to sign a guy to his second contract, and when a guy is going to be 29 signing his second contract, all of a sudden it's like, okay. You know, then there's the next group, and not to say that Mike Hall's above these next guys or anything like that, but you've got some interesting guys from there.
Very athletic group of defensive linemen, by the way, in terms of athleticism and speed this year. Back when we had the combine show, I kind of counted through. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 labeled interior nine, eight that had posted 40 times of under 5 seconds. And those are the guys who ran. That doesn't include Michael Hall, who didn't, and then was incredibly fast at his pro day. So just at the combine, there were 8 deep interior linemen that posted 40s under 5 seconds.
Yeah. And so, you know, and like you said, now all of a sudden you've got another group. So I looked up how to say this guy's name, Rook. So in the thing, it says it rhymes with juke. So Rook,
Yeah.
He comes out of Clemson. He's going to be 23 this year. So again, one of the things we have to do is reset our mindset about age in terms of certain things. So 22, 23 is not a big deal. The only reason I bring it up with Fisk is because he literally started college in 2018. So, like, this is a guy, this was his sixth year of college. It's not a negative, but, you know, he's a legit 25-year-old. Like, you know, I think, and this was in the last show that got messed up, Jess, but you had a great thing. It's like, this guy is as good and as big and as athletic as he's going to get. All these other guys have a year or two where they're going to continue to grow. Now, obviously, getting it into an NFL strength and conditioning program, he's going to get stronger, you know, and better, but like, he's basically developed. He's a man at this point at 25, right? Whereas, you know, Michael Hall's 20, Mason Smith out of LSU is 21. So you have to, you know, kind of fit those, play that game to see how they fit. Rook is a guy that he's a fifth year senior. The last 2 years were super productive, and that's what's interesting to me is, you know, didn't really play much in 2020, excuse me, he had a knee injury, obviously pandemic season, so it was a little different. Came back in 2021, 8 tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks. Not a nice production for, you know, what was essentially his sophomore season. And then last year in 2022, he jumped to 4 sacks. Still had 8 tackles for loss. That's a big jump, especially for a guy that's playing at a school that lost their defensive coordinator, that all of a sudden, you know, they weren't the same team anymore, right? Like, Clemson was not Clemson anymore. And then last year, he had 5 sacks, 8 tackles for loss again. So consistent improvement in production, something we talked about with Newton. He is really good on the interior because of his movement skills and his strength. I mentioned Byron Murphy had 28 reps. Aurora Roro had 29 reps, and he's got 34 inch arms. So he's got long vines for arms on his 6'4", 294 frame. He ran a 4.89, so you mentioned he's one of those freak guys, right? Like sub 4.940 at 294. 32-inch vert, 9.8 broad, incredibly athletic and twitchy guy. And he's a guy that can play on the edge in a base defense. And so that's the interesting thing with him. You're looking at him in the mid-second round area. So, you know, for the Cardinals, if he falls to 66, I think he's a, like, no question type of thing if they haven't grabbed a Murphy or a Newton at that point. I just don't know if he's worth a 35th pick, right?
Yeah.
And then you have some of the tweeners that you and I have talked about. The first one's Darius Robinson, the Missouri, again, tweener, edge, defensive.
And who's projected carrier. To go all over the place. You see him top 20 sometimes, top 50. But his athleticism and his ability to play on, and the fact he did it the Senior Bowl, so that's an important thing. He's, you know, he's LJ Collier sized, and the question is, for a team, will you play him on the edge or will you play him on the interior? A guy like LJ Collier ultimately failed as an edge guy, but shows promise on the interior if he could stay healthy.
Yeah, and that's the big question with Robinson, right? So you look at him, you mentioned it, man. I mean, this is a guy that basically did nothing his first 3 years at Mizzou, just zero sacks, one sack, zero sacks. He had 1.5 tackles for loss in those 3 seasons. That's not good production. Like, we can just be frank about it. It's not good. Then last year in 22, he bumped that up. 5.5 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks. And then they made a move, and this is what's really intriguing to me. They moved him from interior to a base 6 technique defensive end, something that the Cardinals run a lot of, right? So a big defensive end type. You know, in the Eagles defense, think Brandon Graham, you know, the bigger guys, not the Hassan Reddick rushers, right? And he came out and had his best season, 14 tackles for loss, 8.5 sacks. They bump him inside on passing downs, and all of a sudden it's like his power and his athleticism shows up in a different way. This is a guy that's 6'5", 285, just long arms, better than average athleticism, especially with that vertical and the broad at that size. That was impressive. And I think he's the kind of wild card for the Cardinals, because while you don't want to say you can get a 2-for-1 with him, you kind of can get a 2-for-1, right? You can get a defensive end that kicks down into the interior and can rush the passer from the interior when you want to bring in a BJ Ojulari, when you want to, you know,
or go, when you're, or it gives them a bigger NASCAR package, right?
Correct. And so he's just a really intriguing guy in that sense. And then, you know, you've got some other guys. Brandon Dorlus is another one, the Oregon defensive interior lineman. Dorlus is a guy that, you know, came in at 6'3", 283. Athletic testing, again, was good if you're an interior defensive lineman, right? 4.85, 40, 30.5-inch broad or vertical, 9.3 broad. So all good numbers. But then you're like, oh, if you're an edge guy, which is where he lines up a lot, that's not great. But the thing is, he wins a lot from the edge. So it's not like he's bad. It just is one of those situations where you have to find the right fit and a team that can use him in both ways. Again, I think you can project him similar to LJ Collier. You know, if you're going to ask him to be an edge guy only, you're going to be very underwhelmed with his production. But if you're asking him to be a base edge that kicks down inside, I think you're going to like what you get. The last guy that we should at least mention in this grouping of day two guys is Mason Smith. Actually, there's two guys we should mention.
Yeah, I was going to say, Chris Jenkins as well, right?
Yeah, Chris Jenkins I skipped over him. Chris Jenkins, he's a really intriguing guy because, you know, I talked about it on the show with the Georgia guys in the secondary. I want to see them outside of that structure. I talked about it with Junior Colson, the linebacker from Michigan, right? Their defense was so freaking good, like so good, that now once you pull them out and they're individuals, like, was he just a cog in the wheel, or is he a guy that wasn't given as much freedom? And that's why his production was never great. 3.5 tackles for loss last year, 2 sacks, 4 tackles for loss, 2 sacks this year. Other than that, he had a half a tackle for loss in his first 15 games while he was in camp on campus. Good size, 6'2" and a half, 300 pounds. Again, another one of those 4.91 guys. Good vert, great broad jump.
long arms.
And he moved. Yeah, long arms, and he moves really well, and he's smart. His dad was, an all-pro or at least a Pro Bowl defensive lineman in his own right, Chris Jenkins, for those that don't remember. And so, you know, he's a guy that you're really projecting if you think he could become more of a playmaker. He reminds me in a good way of the guy the Cardinals just signed, right? Justin Jones. Like, you see something more there and you're like, ah, but your floor is a 10-year defensive lineman that is a guy you can trust and start every year. And you know, you can always be like, ah, we need an upgrade in the pass rush, but man, he does his job. Right. And so, then the last guy, yeah, Mason Smith. Smith's a really interesting one because, Jess, he was on the fast track to stardom. He was the next Quinnen Williams. He was the next, you know, Jalen Carter. These guys that were Derek Brown. These guys we talked about earlier that were not gifted, but, you know, given this top 10 pick status. As a true freshman at 18 years old, this guy put up 5 tackles for loss and 4 sacks in 9 games in the SEC, which is just absurd. I mean, just insane, Jess. I mean,
oh, and he's a specimen at 6'5", 35-inch arms. He ran the 40 and 306 pounds, ran the 40 and 5'01", 31-inch vert, 9'9" broad. Come on. This is he's made in a lab.
Yep, and then he blew out his knee. And did not play. I mean, he played in the first game, but that's when he blew out his knee. And he came back this year and just wasn't the same guy. And so you're taking this guy based on what you saw in 2020 or 2021, excuse me, and what you think he can get back to. Because if you go with him, you're basically trusting your scouts and your coaches that they're going to get the most of this guy. He's the complete opposite of Chris Jenkins and Braden Fisk. Like, they're safe. You know what you're going to get. There may not be this all-pro upside, but you're getting a guy that, you know, in Fisk range, you're going to talk about a 7-8 year starter, you know, when he's 30, be done at 32, 33. Jenkins, 10-year starter, 32, 33. Smith is not even going to be – he won't be 22 until October, and he looks like a guy that could potentially be a – and I hate using this, but like a Chris Jones level type of guy. But that was only on tape 1 year. And I always get super worried about guys that are that tall, that heavy. And not that 306 is heavy by any means, but that big with knee issues. Yeah. Because you're just talking about a guy that now all of a sudden you've got to really figure out if you're going to get the most out of him. But man, if you like him, and you can get him in that 71 to 90 range, and you haven't, and even if you've already grabbed another defensive lineman, I wouldn't hate it. A couple days, you know.
Yeah, who's on day three that are kind of sleeper guys that will either be better than many think they could be, or there's like steady Eddie type players that'll just do their job, be unspectacular, but have a nice career.
So Smith's teammate, Mekhi Wingo, was the best defensive tackle on the team this year, and he only played in 8 games. He had a groin injury to end the season. He's another young guy. He just turned 21. He had 5 tackles for loss, 4.5 sacks this year in 8 games. Super good production in the SEC. But he's got some interesting questions. First off, he's 6 foot flat and 285 pounds. So you're talking about a guy that's going to be a one gap penetrating guy, but he does it spectacularly. Just 485, 40, good broad, good vertical, decent agility numbers at his pro day. And so with him, you look at it and you go, okay, I know what I'm going to get with him, but he's, you know, like you're talking in the Darnell Dockett range, right? Like same type of player, same type of build, all of that. Is he going to be on Darnell Dockett's level in terms of production and being able to play every down, or is he going to be just an interior rusher, which isn't a bad thing? The really intriguing one to me, man, Gabe Hall out of Baylor. Again, this guy is a freak of nature. He is 6'6", 294. He ran a 5.02 40 at the combine, but had great jumps just at that size, which is, again, is just like, where do these guys keep coming from? I think he's another guy that can be an end in base packages, that can move inside. And that's what I really like about him. But he's a, you know, again, you're projecting a little bit because his production wasn't ever great. And he's, you know, he's going to be 24 this year, or he just turned 23, excuse me. So, you know, it's a little bit different. The other guy, Dwayne Carter, out of Duke, he's a day three guy all day, but he's a guy that I think, again, can be in the league for 7 to 10 years. His 2021 and 2022 season, I don't know why he didn't come out. He put up really good numbers, 7.5 tackles for loss, 4.5 sacks, then 11 tackles for loss and 5.5 sacks. And I think he just wanted to be part of something better at Duke finally. 6'2", 304 pounds, sub 5.40. Again, good vert, good broad, decent agility numbers. But he's going to be a very versatile rotational defensive lineman for a long time because of his ability to win in the run and in the pass. And that's, you know, just something you can't really ever give up. Then there's the wild card, Jess, and we talked a little bit about him. And I always like to ask you your opinion, you know, as somebody that doesn't do the draft year round, that you've seen him, you've watched him. He's a freak, 6'4.5", 366 pounds. Good size arms for his frame. Obviously very broad at 6'4.5" and 366 pounds. But can you draft T'Vondre Sweat after what his offseason has been, where he didn't?
It's so. This is the time of year when you're like, guys, stay out of trouble. And what does he do? He goes and gets hit for drunk driving. So, I mean, you and Justin talk about it all the time. The size. It's you pause at guys that are 350 pounds and bigger because it's hard to do things at that size, even in the NFL. Then you get on top of that, and you have the question off the field. I think someone will draft him. I still think someone will draft him because we were talking probably a round three guy without that. And depending on, and well, I guess here's the thing. He had the arrest right before all of his visits. And so
people were able to talk to
yes,
him.
And, yeah. So I think that's the benefit. Like what happened with Lyle Collins, that happened on like days before the draft, before he could talk to anyone. So, you know, he can own up to it. She can show the remorse. And I think someone will still I think someone will still draft him because of what he was part of there. You see the athleticism at his size, but definitely now I don't think he'll go undrafted. I think he'll get picked up.
Yeah. It's just you know, these guys are, and people like to point out, you know, the outliers, and they're like, hey, who's the guy that wore the overalls? Vince Wilfork, right? Like, oh, Vince Wilfork. It's like, okay, but Vince Wilfork was a freak coming out of Miami with insane levels of production. You know, Haloti Ngata. It's like, no, Haloti Ngata was a, like,
well, it's absolute, going a different way. Jordan Phillips. He was nothing extraordinary coming out of college, and then he got to the pros, and he wouldn't do much until the 1 year in Buffalo, and then once he had that year, he couldn't stay healthy.
So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if and when he goes. I do agree with you. I think he gets drafted, but it's not a guy that I don't think you can take until – if you're the Cardinals, I don't know if you can take him, and if you do, it's got to be around – five-ish,
right?
You know, and then there's some other guys that we need to mention. Christian Boyd,
right,
is the name of Iowa.
It's hard to remember him because he was a non-invite to the combine. He does have some really good numbers, and some are thinking, you know, many draft guys are saying top 100.
Yeah, and that'll be what's interesting. But he is a space eating run stuffer, 6'2.5", 325. Kind of reminds you a little bit of guys like, and I said this, like a Dan Williams type, you know, but and Dan Williams went in the first round. Like Jess just said, Christian Boyd might go top 100. So again, you're getting him at a much different price. But I mean, they're built the same. They have similar testing numbers. So I think you're talking about a guy that fits and can be an impressive player. But, you know, again, do you take him at 90? I don't know. I mean,
I guess it ultimately depends on what they've already addressed. If you haven't touched the defensive line and you've got guys that you like at other roles, then I suppose it wouldn't hurt.
Well, and he's a guy that they don't have. They don't have a big body guy that's going to eat.
I think now they do with Kyrus Tonga.
Yeah, but I mean, he's a he's even like bigger than Tonga. Well, I shouldn't say bigger. He's wider than Tonga because, you know, again, I don't understand how these guys. I'm 6'2", and this guy is literally 75 pounds heavier than me. And I feel like garbage getting out of bed some mornings when I overdo it, Jess. Now, I'm not an athlete by any means, but like 6'2 and 325 is just an absurd like box. Like they're built like refrigerators.
Yeah. Coming up next on the Rise Up Secret Podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's move on to the edge defenders, to the outside linebackers, the pass rushers that the Cardinals definitely need to address. That's coming up next on Rise Up Secret. We're back on the Rise Up Secret Podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. We talk about the pass rushers, the edge defenders, and it's kind of an interesting range because the ones that you would love to see the Cardinals get probably can't go, you can't take them fourth, but they won't be around at 27. You've got Dallas, would you say that probably four edge guys will go in round one? Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, Laiatu, and Chop Robinson. I would guess that all four will go in round one, and
I would say your number is correct, and your first three are correct, and then I think four is a wild card. And you mentioned Chop. You know, we can run through Turner and Verse and Laiatu because it seems now that the betting money has moved that Laiatu is going to be the first defensive player selected. Ooh. And they're talking about him going eighth overall to the Falcons. Falcons desperately need pass rusher, so it makes sense. Latu's a really refined, intriguing pass rush prospect. Came in at 6'4", 259. Really good testing numbers. Not, you know, elite by any mean, but very, very good across the board. And, you know, he is a technician from the edge. He is the highest level of refinement for hand fighting, for working moves, setting up counter moves, things of that nature. He's really, really skilled with that. I think he's a guy that can be a overall really solid pro. I don't know if he's a guy that's going to give you, you know, 10, 15 sacks a year, but I think he's a guy that's going to hang in that 8 to 10 range and then have a couple bumps every year where he's like at 11. The irony being that he gets the Jalen Phillips comparisons from like a player, but then also you remember that Phillips
went to UCLA, medically retired, then went to Miami to produce, while Laiatu was at Washington, medically retired, got to UCLA and cleared, and then produced.
Yeah, in his last 2 years at UCLA, 10.5 sacks and 13 sacks, incredibly productive. He is a guy that's going to be a really good pro. Jared Verse is another one. He'll be 24 in November. Part of that very old, very talented defensive line from Florida State. That's why Florida State went undefeated this year in the regular season, because their defense was just insane. You know, they won games with Jess and I playing quarterback after Jordan Travis went out, and you saw it. He's a guy that, you know, Verse at six, just a shade under 6'4", 255, ran a sub 4.6 with really, really good jumps. You know, I don't know if he's a guy that's going to, I don't think that there's a guy that you're like, hey, this is going to be a 12 plus sack a year guy in this group. But I think there's a bunch of guys that are going to produce for 8 to 10 years. You know, he tests similarly to a guy like Ryan Kerrigan, who was the same way. Now, Kerrigan may be that high end that we talk about every once in a while from a comp standpoint, but if that's his ceiling, as Ryan Kerrigan, a four-time Pro Bowler that had a five-year stretch where he had let's see, I just want to make sure I get this right. He had 26. He had over 55 sacks in five seasons. Like, that's really impressive. And he's, you know, I think Verse has that as an upside. And then, you know, on the flip side, if you only get a guy like Dante Fowler, and, you know, again, not a sexy name, kind of a bust in terms of where he was drafted based on expectations, you know, being the third overall pick, but you're talking about a guy that's been in the league for eight seasons, has 45 total sacks, so about six sacks a year, and has produced an eight sack and an 11.5 sack season, and just continues to play you know, snaps in the NFL, like a true bust is a guy that's obviously out of football in a couple of years. But I know that people, especially Jaguars fans, probably think he's a bust, because when you draft somebody third overall, you're hoping to get a free. Dallas Turner is my number one guy. But
what's happened with him? Is it just that Latu's polish? Because it felt like forever that it was going to be Falcons Turner. And then now, like you said, the money is shifting. The betting lines are shifting to Latu going. When doesn't Dallas Turner feel like a kind of a sure thing? He's not going to be, I don't think he's Will Anderson, but he took Anderson's spot. Like, size, personality, production, athleticism, like 40 and a half inch vert, 10 right. foot, 727 inch broad. And he was the guy that made, if y'all caught that on social media at the NFL Combine, when they showed his 40 and immediately panned Amani Austin for it, who did a little shimmy dance. He was that excited about what he saw from Turner.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's the interesting thing with Turner is you know what he is already. You know, 6'3", 240, you know, 250-ish type of guy, but sub 4.5, like you said, jumps out of the building. He's a guy that projects similar to like a Brian Burns, right? And Burns went in the middle of the first round, right? Like, I think in like 16 or something like that. I'll double check as I'm talking. But and he's turned into an elite player in the NFL. Yep, I guessed right. It's 16th overall. You know, but again, you look at Burns' production: 7.5, 9, 12.5, 8. I see that with Turner too. Like, I think he's an elite player with high end potential, and if Burns is his ceiling, that's a great ceiling, right? Like, you're talking about a guy that is one of the highest paid defense players in the NFL, has the game that everybody wants a Brian Burns. It's just that, like you said, in the age of guys going off for 16, 18 sacks, sometimes it's not as sexy to be a guy that's 8 to 12 every year, right?
Yeah. And then if we go to, you know, Chop Robinson, it's going to be really hard for a team to turn, especially a team that's needing a pass rush. But when you look at his testing numbers, 4.48, 34.5-inch for 10.8.
I mean, he's built just like Dallas Turner, right? Like,
yeah, he is.
Built the same.
But the production just wasn't there. Personally, if depending on how things go, I wouldn't mind him. But I just personally believe at 27 that there's going to be better corner prospects than Turner is as a pass rushing prospect, and that you can take a lower risk pick at 35 or moving back and taking a pass rusher in that second round with guys you are have just as many questions about with their pro production than doing it with Robinson. But yeah. I think ultimately he'll probably go round one. It's hard to was Ebiketie. Like, he tested similar, but he was more undersized, and that's why he went round two, right?
Yeah, the guy that Chop really reminds me of is Boy Mafe, who was drafted in the second round, 40th overall.
Is also...
Yeah, that and Mafe, you know, had a and all these guys go in the same range. I mean, Ebiketie went 38th, Boy Mafe went 40th, you know, and they all had kind of similar starts to their career. They're only in year two, both of them, but you had 3 sacks for Mafe and then 9 sacks this year. Ebiketie, you had 3 sacks his first, 2.5, sorry, and then 6 this year. So, like, you did get that jump, but it wasn't. And I think that's what Chop is. You know, he's an unrefined guy with elite initial burst, decent arm length. You know, he's not going to be a guy that's overly long, but he is an insane athlete off the line immediately, and that's what is going to win him. And he's a guy that you look at, you can see the profile of an elite pass rusher. I just don't know if he'll ever get there, because you're talking about a guy that played at Penn State, and just their history at Penn State, they just never – their athletic potential or their in-game potential never lives up to their athletic potential, right?
If we look at kind of round two, here's some names that in my mind are kind of the round two, probably are gone by 66 when the Cardinals pick in the third round. Chris Braswell, Alabama, Marshawn Neyland, Western Kentucky, Jonah Ellis, Utah, and there was another guy that Adisa Isaac, is he probably a round two guy?
Isaac's an interesting one because he's not the freak athlete out of Penn State, which is,
but he's rare. The productive one,
right? Which is rare, you know, six, but he is a little undersized in terms of being 6'4 and 247 and then not testing like an elite athlete. But like you said, 4 sacks and then 7.5 sacks last year, 11 tackles for loss, 16 tackles for loss last year. So, like, again, led team in tackles for loss and sacks his final 2 years. I think he's a guy that offers a lot of versatility. I don't think he's even like as athletic as BJ Ojulari was coming out. I know BJ didn't do all the testing, but they're built similarly. I don't know if you need a secondary of those, right? I think you probably want something with a little higher upside. Not that there's anything wrong with Ojulari, but, you know, we talked about him last year. He profiles, you know, similar to like a Harold Landry that is ideally suited to be your second best pass rusher, which is a guy that's going to give you that 6 to 8 sacks a year for a really long time. You know, it'll be interesting because Isaac is one, you know, you mentioned Marshawn Neyland. He's an interesting one out of Western Michigan because he's big, 6'3", 267. And then his testing wasn't great, 4.75. But again, at 267, you're like, I think he's a guy that, you know, I've seen people mention him in the first round. I don't understand that. But crazier things have happened,
but, right?
He's,
but like that has been the buzz around him. We're hearing top 50, like, you know, okay, top 50, sure. You've got small school, got a real big, not good build, production. There's things to like about him. But Yeah, it's just Jonah Ellis is interesting because, you know,
he's one of my
favorite players. He's so dominant when you watch him play.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite players in this class. Real quick on Nyland, his like high end outcome range, which is really good, is Frank Clark without obviously all the off the field stuff. So, and obviously we don't know if Nyland has anything. So I'm not saying he's, you know, so good or a bad person.
He doesn't do gun stuff. So
right, but you're talking about a guy that could be a, you know, a 10 sack a year type of guy. But again, where do you take him? Clark went in the second round, probably because of those off-field issues, right? Yeah, Jonah Ellis is one of my favorites, man. I just love his motor. I love the way he plays. He couldn't work out or do everything testing-wise, but he came in at 6'2", 248. Decent arm length for his size, 33-inch arms with the 79 and three-quarter-inch wingspan. And then he had good vert and broad jump, right? 38-inch vert, 10 foot even broad, and a really good three cone at 6'6", 9. So again, a guy that can rush the passer using that athleticism. I told you this in the last show, and it's meant to be an incredible positive. He really reminds me of the kid that's in Alex Highsmith, the kid that's in Pittsburgh that's turned into a really good pass rusher, right? I don't think there's ever an issue getting guys like Jonah Ellis on your roster, and if you can do so on day three, that would be even more ideal. But I mean, you know, you look at Highsmith's production, 2 sacks, 6 sacks, 14.5 sacks, and then 7 sacks this year. I can see Ellis having the same type of career arc and be the same type of versatile player. Highsmith went 102. Does Ellis make it to 90? I don't know. I mean, his size is going to turn some teams off, you know, being only 6'2 and 248. But I think his motor is what really makes him special. Like, this is a dude that, you know, I said the other day, like Marcus Golden, right? Where you just don't see guys that give this effort consistently all the time. And I don't know how he does it. Braylon Trice is another intriguing one.
But he's probably going to be day three now, isn't he?
Yeah, you would think. I mean, he was had back-to-back really good years.
Showed up really well in the college football playoff.
Right, and then he came out, and he came out small, right? 6'3.5", which is fine, but 245.
Right, didn't he play around 260?
And, yeah, and then he ran a 4.7 40. And so you're like, oh, you know, you trim down to not your playing size, and then you tested really, really poorly.
That could make a really good pick that could work out for a team, though.
Because
of the type of producer he was, you get him in round four.
Right. And then
you get a pretty productive pass rusher because you get 4 or 5 sacks a year from a round four guy. That's not common.
Right. And a guy that, you know, he's similar to and things of that nature. And I could see him having a similar type of career was Ochenna Nwosu, who's, you know, made a nice name for himself in the NFL. Owosu's 40 was a little bit better at 4.65 as opposed to 4.72, but, you know, he didn't come out as an elite athlete with average to below average jumps. And again, I think a lot of it comes down to, you know, Trice is not overly big and then has short arms, 10th percentile for wingspan, 12th percentile for arm length. And so that's how you look at him. And you know, Nwosu went earlier than expected. He went in the second round. Again, 3.5, 2, 4.5, 5, 9.5, 2. Like, I think to your point, that's what you can see with Trice coming out. The other one that's intriguing is Austin Booker. He's another guy that's going to go on day two, probably in the third round range. But, you know, he's a one-year production guy. Was at Minnesota, transferred to Kansas, and ended up being a first-team All Big 12 and Big 12 Newcomer of the Year. Like, really good work. And then he tested like a jag in everything but the broad jump. 6'4", 240, ran a 4.79. Then he ran again his pro day and ran a 4.77. So again, you're talking about a guy that's not big, not overly athletic, but has produced well at a Big 12 program. I don't know where he fits into the whole thing. I could see him going on day three somewhere, you know, similar to a guy like Tashaun Bauer. Is that he was the guy that was with the Ravens, I believe, right? For a while, had some good seasons with them. I just, you know, I don't know where these guys fit in.
I did have a question about Muhammad Kamara. I heard on his podcast, Mel Kiper just absolutely gushing about if there's a pass rusher that you can get after round one, he said Muhammad Kamara out of Colorado State. He's little, 6'1", 248, but 4.57, 40. Where do you think he ultimately falls?
Yeah, I think Kamara is a guy that, like, at 105, I would be super thrilled with, because I love his game. I love his motor. Again, when you talk about guys in on day two and three, you're looking at motor, their effort level. And I think he's going to be a really good rotational pass rusher. 7.5 sacks in 2021, 8.5 sacks in 2022, and then 13 sacks last year. Second team All-American from, you know, Colorado State. Like, that's unheard of. But like you said, 6'1", 248, not ideal, but he has insane get off, and his vertical and his broad were really, really good as well. And so you look at him and you see a guy that, while he lacks ideal size, his measurables in terms of testing were exactly what you want. I've seen him compared to Agbo Akronkwo, I believe is how you pronounce it. Don't quote me on that.
I know what you're talking about. I can't fact check you on that right off the top of my head.
Yeah. So he, you know, Agbo is a guy that's been around the league. He went in the fifth round, which is probably where Kamara's going to go. And that's the thing, is when you go in the fifth round and then you are able to play, and then in year four, you produce 5 sacks, and then in year five, you produce 4.5 sacks. That's a great career for those guys, because they come out, and he's similar size, you know, 6'2", 250, went in the fifth round of the Rams out of Oklahoma. I think that if you can get Kamara in that same range, he's a home run, because while he may never be more than 5 sacks, again, on day three, you're getting a 5 sack guy that can play 40% of the snaps. And then the last guy we should mention that's starting to get top 100 buzz, man. Crazy. Jalix Hunt. Yeah, out of Houston Christian. So we looked this up the last time. It used to be Houston Baptist. It's a FCS. So again, it's what NAU plays in, right? So that level. Typically, when you draft a guy out of those areas, you want them to be dominant. Well, there's some intriguing things about him. When he was at Cornell, he came in at 195 pounds. So he was a safety, and he turned into a almost 6'4", 250-pound edge rusher. So you have to remember that his lack of production in his 2 years at Houston Christian, and by lack of production, I mean 11.5 tackles for loss, 7 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, and then 9 tackles for loss, 6.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. So again, not bad production, but
he's playing not as part of the field he'd never done. Before he used to see the entire field.
Right. And so that's the thing you're looking at. Again, an older guy, just turned 23. He's probably a year away from being like a big time contributor. But if you feel like you've got something, and I know this bothers Cardinals fans to no end, so, you know, but Jess and I will continue to say it. They aren't super upset with their edge guys. That's not
not for some reason. They see Zaven Collins as a guy who can be a star. They see it. They believe it. And B.J. Ojolari, they drafted.
So, but you were talking about a guy that, you know, with the upside could, you know, be a similar type of player to Brian Burns, like athletic testing profile, all of that. And then on the low end, you're talking about a guy that could be like Lorenzo Carter, who is, you know, again, if you get a guy in the late third, early fourth, and that gives you 4 to 5 sacks a year, every year, that's a win. Yeah. Like, you know, people get stuck on, oh, well, we need a 12 sack a year guy. But, yeah, you do. Everybody does.
Yep. But that's why also, if you have five sack guys and a 10 sack guy, good job. You've got a great pass rush.
Right, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see how it all works out. But yeah, this is a great year to need a pass rusher.
I do have a question on two guys that are clearly day three guys. One I asked you about before on the last time, Brennan Jackson, Washington State, 6'4", 6'4", 265. You know, 4.6940. But then also, as I was looking for, as when I talked to Austin McNamara, I was looking at some of the Texas Tech stuff, and I forgot about Miles Cole, who is, of, you know, 6'6", 278, with nearly 37-inch arms, ran a 4.67, 35-inch vert, 10-foot broad.
Yeah, so Brennan Jackson out of Washington State's an interesting one.
Well, and Jackson, I read somewhere, like, Kiper also said, it's like, his motor, you will love his motor.
Yeah, and so that's his forte, right? Like, testing-wise, he was either slightly above average or average in everything, which is fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. The two red flags with him come out to be his you know, medical history. Again, a 2018 prospect, so it'll be 24 this year. ACL tear. It always just makes me laugh when you say this. ACL tear in 2018. So he missed all of 2018 with a torn ACL. And then he missed almost the entire 2019 with a broken foot. And then he came back and he started to play well, 1.5 sacks, his freshman year. And that was in 2020. So that was in a pandemic season. And then in full seasons after that, 6 tackles for loss, 4 sacks, 12 tackles for loss, 6 sacks, 12.5 tackles for loss, 8.5 sacks. So he did exactly what you want to see. Continue to get better every single year. 3-year starter at
mock
Washington
draftable.
State.
Advanced is, search like position said, data.
He is a worker. He's a guy that's going to be relentless and, quite frankly, annoying, and that's a good thing. I think he's a guy that's going to fit in a rotation somewhere. You know, he's not going to be a guy that is overly looked at as an overly great pass rusher by any means, but he's a guy that can compete and give you snaps on a consistent basis that allow you to have maybe in like the Dennis Gardeck type role, right? Like, yeah. Where he plays 12 to 15 snaps a game and they're very productive and people are like, why doesn't he play more? And then you're like, oh yeah, never mind. When he actually gets out there, right?
Patrick Mahomes,
the other
made
one
the
you mentioned was Miles Cole, right? Yeah. Again, another
he reminds me, you know who he reminds me of? Kareem Martin, who never... He never panned out to anything really, but other than a pretty solid special teams player. But dude, he's got a 7'3" wingspan at 6'7", at 6'6".
Yeah, 280. And that's the thing with him is he's a guy that, like you said, he's again another one of these older guys. Came in 2018. We don't hold it against him. We try not to. But you know, it's still something that you have to look at because, again, as they get to that age, like we talked about, he is a guy that, why weren't you producing more? Why weren't you better overall? But, you know, like you said, lack of production isn't a huge thing. He was at Louisiana Monroe and then transferred to Texas Tech. Did nothing.
And remember that Tyree Wilson got drafted highly.
Yeah.
Having similar production.
Correct. And he was in this thing is his production or lack of production in 2022 can really be attributed that he was asked to play interior, and then he moved into Tyree Wilson's spot and had 32 tackles, 6.5 tackles for loss, and 3.5 sacks. So again, he's a really toolsy, intriguing guy because of his size and testing numbers. But I mean, you're talking about a guy that probably is, I shouldn't say probably, is definitely going on day three. But the question becomes, you know, is he, like you said, Kareem Martin, or can he turn into a guy that is productive and plays at a high level? You know, you hate to throw a name out there like
Cardinals drafted Kareem Martin in the third round.
Right. And you hate to throw a name out like this, but like his profile is very similar to like a Montez Sweat when he was coming out of Mississippi State. Right. So again, I'm not saying he will be Montez Sweat. I'm just saying his profile is similar to Montez Sweat.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, Professor Cardinals Talk on the web. Let's talk about the cornerbacks in this draft. It's a pretty good group. That's coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, best of Cardinals Talk on the web. Cornerbacks, another position of great need for the Cardinals. They need themselves a number one, even though, you know, the talk, Sean Murphy, Ben Bunting could be their number one. He profiles more as a number two. First round cornerbacks, and the Cardinals definitely at number 27 will be in range. I think that's probably been the most commonly mocked position. And if I had to pick the name, probably Cooley McKinstry is the guy that's most commonly mocked. But if we go through round one cornerbacks, isn't it looking like a round five as we go Terrion Arnold, you go Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, Nate Wiggins, Cooley McKinstry, and there's probably another one I'm not thinking off the top of my head. But five or six corners are probably going in round one, aren't they?
Yeah, you would think so. And you look at it, you've got a guy, you know, you mentioned Terrion Arnold. He's a really intriguing guy. Last year, as a retro freshman, had 9 passes defense, 1 interception. This year, All-American, 17 passes defense, 5 interceptions. And he got a lot of testing because he was playing across from Cooley McKinstry, who was an All-American the year before and led like the universe in passes defense and that stuff. So really, really solid guy. You know, a lot of people have compared him to Jalen Johnson, which is always interesting to me to compare a guy that tests similar, that profiles similar and all that, and then be like, oh, and, you know, he reminds me of this guy that we didn't think was good enough to go until the 50th pick, but now we're going to take this guy top 10. And I always find like that ends up being a negative, because what ends up happening is you're drafting a guy and hoping he turns out to be the same guy that went in that area. But I think Arnold is a very safe pick and profiles as a guy that should have a good career. You know, unless they trade back to 11 and then try not to trade back up, I don't think he or Quinyon Mitchell are really all options for them. Quinyon Mitchell is a freak, man. I mean, came in at 6 foot, 195, 4.3 340 with great jumps. And then, I mean, this is a guy in 2022, 25 passes defense, 5 interceptions, 19 passes defense, 1 interception playing for Toledo. 2-time second team All-American, led the FBS in passes defense last year. Like, this is just a guy that has checked every box along the way. And then absolutely, you know, you talked about Braden Fisk. Quinyon Mitchell did the same thing throughout the process. I really like what he brings. I think you've got a guy that, you know, on the high end, could be similar to like Jonathan Joseph, who I think was only in the NFL for like 22 years. I mean, that guy was around forever, right? Like, and I think he went in the first like top 10, if I remember right. But he was, you know, phenomenal for so long. Yeah, he went 24th overall. So 2-time Pro Bowler. But again, this guy literally played for 16 years in the NFL. Like, that's kind of what I see with Quinyon. I think that's, you know, his high end. Low end, you might get a guy, and I know people make fun of him, but he's been around forever, like an Eli Apple, right?
He sounds like the way Eli Apple was drafted was 20th overall, right about, and
10th.
Oh my goodness, 10th overall.
That was back when the Giants were really dumb, too.
But you know, he's still starting games all over the place. Yeah. Everyone looks to replace him, but then he goes and plays pretty well and someone else signs him and he starts there. He's had a nice career.
Right. And I think like Mitchell's like insanely high end hopeful where he gets to is Darius Slay. They profile very similarly from a size, weight, athleticism. I think that's, but again, you know, like I said, with the talk about Kerryon Arnold being like Jalen Johnson, Darius Slay went in the second round. So, you know, it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see. But again, that's like, I mean, when you're talking about a six-time Pro Bowler, multiple-time All-Pro, that's like up there. And I try not to give those type of projections. So that's why I said, if you can get a guy that's around for 12 years, then you've won. And then we get into the guys that could be with the Cardinals, right, in that range. And you mentioned it to start with Cooper DeJean. I love this guy. I think he has the perfect kind of fit in what the Cardinals want to do, because he's a guy that can play as a boundary corner outside. He's a guy that can play as a slot corner and, you know, or a big nickel safety. And then obviously you have the All-American punt return ability, right? So with DeJean, that's, you know, that it, he is an alpha. A lot of people, you know, won't love this, but he's a guy that, you know, at worst could be Antrell Roll, right? That, you know, you pick
I was not an Antrell Roll fan, but it was mainly because of what the expectations were where he was drafted, and he was expected to be a boundary corner shutdown guy, when what he really was, and that was what he was in college, was just a playmaker all over the field.
Right. And I mean, remember, he ended up going to three Pro Bowls and being an all pro, two-time all pro. I think did he win a Super Bowl? Yeah. With New York. Right. So, I mean, you're talking about a guy that ended up being phenomenal throughout his career. And so I think, you know, at worst, that's what you get from him. But I think Cooper can play outside. I think he's a guy that can, because he fits really well in that cover three defense that they want to run. And then on the flip side, you have a guy who has everything you want in a corner in Nate Wiggins, doesn't turn 21 until August, was the fastest defensive player at the combine with a 4.28 40, came in at 6'1", 173, high end production for the last 2 years, 14 pass defense, 11 pass defense, one interception, two interceptions, and is a relentless, tireless worker that has made plays chasing down tackles from the backs or chasing down runners from the backside to save touchdowns in two different games. The big issue with him is he's 175 pounds soaking wet, man. And he plays like and projects to another ex-Cardinal, Dominic Rogers Cromartie. And that's not a negative at all.
Especially if you can add a little bit of muscle to it. If you can get him to 180, right? 180, right. 185, and he can play at that level, you feel way better about his durability.
Right. And Dominique, you know, was a two-time Pro Bowler, one-time All-Pro. Like,
played long time.
Yeah, yeah. It was able to play from 2008 to 2019, so a 12-year NFL career. Really, really solid guy, man. If that's who you get from him, I just don't know if that fits what they want to do. Now, I don't want to take anything away from him, because he is an incredibly willing tackler. Incredibly willing. But he does tend to get banged up and he's missed games because he is a little more aggressive than you would expect a guy at his size to be. And so that's, you know, that's a question that you have to figure out. You mentioned Kool-Aid McKinstry, another guy that's kind of an ideal fit. And he gets a comp to a guy that played extremely, extremely well in Jonathan Gannon's defense in their 1 year overlap. And that was James Bradberry. He's a little smaller. Bradberry came in at 6'2", 190, but, you know, 6 foot, 190, ran after his Jones fracture was healed, ran a 4.47. So more than athletic enough, good vertical, good broad jump. And he is a guy that just looks like he's, and not in a negative way, but looks like he's in a coast mode all the time, because he's just so athletic and so smooth with everything he does. Excellent tackler, is going to be a guy that really, really is a willing participant and helper in that situation. I think he would be an outstanding fit for the Cardinals at that 27 pick. And then you get into the next tier of guys, right? And that starts with a guy that is a slot only, but he's probably my favorite corner in the draft, and that's Mike Sainristil.
He's a Wolverine in more than one sense.
Right. He's
a Wolverine by school mascot and the way he plays. He plays like that.
Yeah, but he came in at 5'9", 180, and so, you know, he tested really nice across the board. But you look at what he puts on film. This is a guy that doesn't care, you know, kind of like Cortland Finnegan, you know, one of those type of guys. He's going to come up, punch you in the mouth and wants to, and then he'll let you know about it afterwards. I love this guy, but he really does project to be kind of a slot only guy, which, again, not a bad thing by any stretch of the imagination. But if you feel like you need somebody that's more versatile, then you can't take him, right? Like, right. That's the decision you have to make. But if you're comfortable with Sean Murphy Bunting and Garrett Williams as your outside guys, and you're like, hey, let's get Sainristil. I love his game. He's going to add an alpha mentality to that defense. You know, obviously always too strong of a comparison, but like, he really reminds me of the Hall of Famer Antoine Winfield, who, again, I hate comparing guys to guys like that. I don't think Winfield made the Hall of Fame, but you know, that's his mentality, a multi-time Pro Bowler, multi-time All Pro. Like, that's just the type of player that Sainristil is, and I think he's going to be phenomenal. And I would happily take him at 35 if you think that you've got enough on the outside corners already. A couple more outside corners that are interesting that I've seen mocked on day two to the Cardinals that I don't love. TJ Tampa is one of them out of Iowa State.
I've seen projections of him going, sneaking up into the first round even.
Yeah, I'm not a huge – he's not bad by any means, but, like, you're talking about a guy that came in at 6'1", 189, and then ran a 4.58 40. Really good agility testing numbers, so, like, that shows, but he's not a long speed guy. And now in the cover three scheme that they like, the Cardinals tend to like to run, I think he can be a guy that fits. I've had a really hard time trying to figure out where he fits and how he fits in with the Cardinals. Like I said, I'm not a huge fan of his. Another guy that I'm not a huge fan of that I've seen mocked is Enos Rakestraw. You know, he came in at 5'11", 183, so another lean guy, and then ran a 4.51. And then he talked about he was sick. He was going to show up at his pro day and do better, and then he ran worse. He ran a 4.56. And he's got an injury history. I mean, he missed a lot of games in 2021 with an ACL, and then missed four games last year with a groin injury. I'm not a fan of his. I'm not saying he's not going to be good or he won't be good. I just would avoid him unless you're talking about in that third round range where it becomes a little less. A guy that you.
What about Carl Lassiter?
Yeah, so Lassiter is an interesting one because 5'11", 187, and then he ran a 4.64 his pro day.
The long speed, bad. But the quickness, that 6.6 2.3 cone that he ran at the combine was eye-popping.
Yeah, and so that's what you have to figure out, is if he's a guy that can athletically hold up to what the NFL is going to ask of him. You look at it, you've got a guy that is has produced, but again, I go back to my question about all these Georgia and Michigan guys. How do they play once they're out of that system? I know he's being looked at as like a nickel only type, and like you said, that's because of that elite quickness. I think he's going to end up going to the third round just because he is, you know, he's not Sainristil in terms of feistiness or aggression or but he is a guy that's going to be able to play in the league for a long time because of his ability as a slot guy that ends up being a guy that, you know, has a good career, kind of like a Cody Sensenbaugh kind of, you know, level of player, which, you know, I know Cardinals fans may not remember him, but if you talk to Cowboys fans, they hated him and then loved him and then hated him. And, you know,
he was,
so
yeah, he was all over the place. What about some guys round three, round four, names that we've heard through top 30? So they have a couple of Auburn guys, DJ Jame, Nehemiah Pritchett. You've got Florida State's Jaron Jones. Guys that feel like, or you go Andrew Phillips out of Kentucky. Are those kind of the round three, round four guys?
Yeah, you think so. And you look at it, you've got a guy, you know, in Max Melton, who is a freak. I love this guy. I think he's going to be a really solid player in the league. 5'10", 185, came in, ran a, or sorry, 5'11", 185, came in, ran a 4.39 with insane jumps, great agility testing. And then he's played both inside and out and then on special teams. He's a guy that has been highly productive his last 3 years in the Big Ten against way better competition because, you know, he plays a Rucker. So he's an interesting guy because I think he's a guy that would really fit with what the Cardinals want, his attitude, his demeanor, the way he plays the game. Profiles, you know, high-end comp is like a Robert Alford, which, you know, was a great player for a long time. Solid, solid number two corner. DJ James, you mentioned, 5'11", 180, 4.42, but really good broad jump and then short shuttle. His three cone was not, though, and that's, you know, he's – it'll be interesting to see if he can play in a slot because he is a little, he is undersized at that 180, and he doesn't have elite quickness, but he has really good speed. But he's also kind of small and isn't overly aggressive in the run game, which, you know, isn't always ideal when you're talking about a guy that's playing in the slot, so they're a little bit closer to the line, right?
Yeah, day three. So I was going to say, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, I was going to say, and then the other guy that's really intriguing to me is actually Kalen Carson out of Wake Forest, right? So he came in, his biggest issue, and he's going to go on, to me, he's going to go on day three because he's missed – 5 games in his sophomore year, 5 games in his junior year, and then missed the last game last year. But you look at his numbers those last 3 seasons, 9 passes defense, 7 passes defense, 8 passes defense. And so with him, he is an average athlete, 4.52, slightly below average jumps, but he's competitive. And when you watch him play, he's just always in position, which is one of those interesting things about guys is like where you're like, I just don't understand how this guy's always in the right spot. So Carson's going to be an interesting one because you've got a guy that has really tiny hands, average arm length, and like I said, his testing numbers weren't great, but he's always around the ball. You know, he profiles similarly, and JC Jackson was a little faster, ran a 4.46 as opposed to a 4.52, but they have a very similar build. And so we'll see how he profiles out. But again, you're talking day three for him.
Three guys that I'm kind of intrigued in for the Cardinals on day three because of guys on their team already. They drafted Ketrell Clark last year. They have his former teammate, Jarvis Brownlee, Kentucky. Feels like, and the interview that I read with him and Justin Mello, he's kind of the same guy. And then two guys size-wise because of what they liked about Star Thomas. Kyrie Jackson, 6'3", 194 out of Oregon, 4'5", 40. And you've talked about on the last time we recorded this, Cam Hart out of Notre Dame, just shy of 6'3", 202, built monster size, also ran a 4'5", both those in terms of day three guys. If you're looking at profiles that the Cardinals apparently like, you've got Brownlee, who is kind of like Keytrell, and Jonathan Gavin loves Keytrell Clark, but the physicality of Star Thomas, you look at guys like Kyrie Jackson and Cam Hart, you look at those, okay, you could see them taking them.
Yeah, and you know, both of those guys fit, you know, what they like in their corners. The other guy that's really intriguing to me, that it's ironic that we did this again because I forgot to mention him last time and he's been brought up to me a couple times, DeCamerion Richardson out of Mississippi State, right? Came in at 6'2", 190, and then ran a 4.34 with really good jumps and agility testing. But he's the complete opposite of Kalen Carson, right? You're talking about a guy that has elite physical traits, and then you just don't understand why he can't make plays consistently. You know, 3 passes defense last year, 7 passes defense this year, never had an interception in his career. But I mean, those numbers are stupid eye popping, right?
Yeah.
Like, so you look at it and it's an intriguing day three class because you've got, what's your flavor type of question?
Do you like the length and do you like the length and physicality? Do you like just the feistiness? Do you like the extreme speed and athleticism?
Yeah, and so I mean, and that's the thing, we're seeing bigger corners in this range. You know, you mentioned it with Cam Hart and Kyrie Jackson, and then you've got Dwight. Then I mentioned DeCamerion, and then Dwight McLaughlin from Arkansas's, you know, 6'1" and a half, 190. And so you've just got a really intriguing mess of players that you're like, okay, how do you wade through this? And that's one of the things that we'll find out over the next couple of years, right? Is like where these guys, or what Gannon and Monty Austin Port value in their prospects. Right. Because we only have 1 year right now. And we'll have to see where they fit in. But he, you know, this is a talented and deep corner class. I would like to see them leave day two with at least one, if not two. But I also understand the idea that you have to, you know, when you have a lot of needs like this team does, it's hard to make that.
And it also would tell us what they think about guys like Garrett Williams and Star Thomas and Devon Wilson and Keytrell Clark. Like, how much do they really believe in them? If you believe in those guys, you don't need to add numbers to them.
Right. And so that's what the question becomes. And you have to ask yourself where they fit along those guys. Like I said, if I could pick one guy to exit next Friday with, it's Sanwer still. I love the way this guy plays. I love his tenacity. I love everything about him. And that then, to your point, Jess, that says, okay, Sean Murphy Bunting, Garrett Williams, Star Thomas, like, we love you guys, but this is our slot guy, and he's going to be nasty the entire time. And that's what I think this defense was lacking last year, especially you mentioned it the other day on the linebacker podcast. When Kaiser White left, there was just nothing physical about this team anymore.
Yeah.
And even though Sanders still's a 5'9", 180-pound slot corner, he might be the most physical guy on the team.
And with that, we will wrap up this edition of the Rise Up Secret Podcast, Best Hour of Cardinals Talk, on the episode 534. This and since this was the third of four, but it's the last one we're doing of our draft preview coming up on Tuesday night. This week is our mock draft. We'll have one show this week. We'll do a mock draft. Seth, I'm gonna set up the documents so we can start working on that. And we'll see how we do. The draft is Thursday, so we got one show this week, and then we'll see after that. That's Seth Cox. I'm Just Root. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. As always, we'll be back again soon. Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red.